The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
On the line now, Davina Montgomery, good morning.
Good morning, Mitchell. How are you?
Good, thank you. World Wellbeing Week this week, and it's a really good point because you're saying that people are increasingly stressed at work because there's been a rise in work-safe stress claims. And I was mentioning before at 10 o'clock, it's not just, I suppose, the casual issue and the fact that people are seeing their shifts cancelled because of lockdowns and dealing with COVID, but I'd imagine as well, even people that are permanent are moving from being in the office to working from home and then back again, and it's a very unsettling time.
It is, Mitch. Look, it is great timing in many ways that it's World Wellbeing Week. That's from today and it runs until the end of the month. And wellbeing, of course, crosses many different areas. But I think at this time, that real focus on mental health, and that is typically a focus of World Wellbeing Week, it's really just about having that conversation and building a bit more awareness. And as you say, there has been a really marked increase in stress claims, workplace stress claims through WorkSafe. And we always know that that's the tip of the iceberg. So if you're seeing those stress cases rise where people have actually put in a claim, let's face it, the majority of people are not going to put in a workplace stress claim to WorkSafe. And I think it does cross the gamut. So, yeah, we've got that incredible uncertainty of people in the gig economy or who have been in casual work and then had cancelled work over that lockdown, had cancelled shifts. There's the economic security insecurity of that. On the back of all of last year, this isn't in isolation now. This is this compounding weight of everything that's been carried. But I am interested too in that impact and hearing more, and I guess getting that conversation rolling more about people who maybe even haven't changed jobs. So for a lot of people out there, and I'm one of them, and I was speaking to quite a few people yesterday about this as well, we're all in the same jobs and we've worked all the way through, so we haven't stopped working through lockdown. But it feels like with the ramp up and this return to economic activity that we've had post-lockdown in Victoria, the ramp up has been so fast and so hard. And it's almost this increasing rolling, you know, desire for people to really catch up and get ahead and get things quickly. And now we're facing down the barrel of the end of financial year, which puts an enormous amount of stress on people across a huge number of sectors to get things done before that June 30. And it's really taking a toll. So the amount of people that I'm speaking to that are experiencing things like high anxiety levels, really not sleeping well at all. So, you know, maybe getting a few hours sleep a night, waking up repeatedly in the middle of the night, not having had a full night's sleep for weeks, if not months. An underlying anxiety, things like workplace stress, these things have really physical responses. So it's both, you've got the mental health impact, but you've also got that physical impact and then your ability to do your job. So it feels like a really sad catch-22 that we get into when we allow this situation to keep rolling. And we do allow it because we need people across all areas to really stand there and look at this as a real problem and say, hang on a minute, we're just not going to do that. So, yes, there will always be levels of stress at work, we know that, but we're going to make a real decision to not make this compound and compound and get worse. So things like you'll get sleeping problems is a really common one, nausea, headaches, indigestion, that kind of thing. But then it becomes, you know, that impact of you're feeling that stress and anxiety, and then there's the symptoms of the stress and anxiety make it worse. So things like it becomes harder to make decisions. You become more forgetful. It's harder to concentrate. You're losing that bit of memory. You can get more irritable, you know, up and down feelings, that sense of not being good enough, of worrying all the time and waking up, you know, in the middle of the night or having those stress moments during the day that just is, oh my God, I've got all this to do and I don't know, I can't get to it. So that real sort of dread, weight of dread that sits on people. And then, of course, people withdraw. Their work performance is not going to be fantastic. No one performs at their best when they're feeling anxious and stressed. We know that. I mean, imagine if we were talking about football. And we said there's a whole group of people, you know, Carlton at the moment, there's a whole group of people who are walking in feeling anxious and stressed and not and unsure and not really knowing how they're going to do the job that's ahead of them. And it feels all too much. there is no getting good performance out of people like that either. So whether you come at it from a pure wellness perspective, whether you come at it from that, you know, just a general human perspective that says, look, we really want people to live their best life as much as possible. And this is a real problem on the back of the pandemic. It's just something that's burbling along and will continue to grow and roll out as an issue. How big that gets kind of depends on all of us.
Well, that's exactly right. I think it's an interesting point that you make that there'd be an underreporting of stress to work, Seth, because as you sort of say, a lot of people think that stress is just part of life and you shouldn't really do anything about it because that's just something that's always going to be there and just deal with it.
Yeah, and, you know, let's call a spade a spade. Australia is a really expensive country to live in. People are either have huge day-to-day expenses, and whether you're renting or you're holding a mortgage, you know, a lot of people carry effectively a lot of debt. So there are lots of things that we need to be able to pay for, and that idea of going into your workplace, into your boss or into your manager and saying, look, I'm actually really struggling, I need a break, or can we look at how I'm managing, you know, what my workload is, or is there things that we can relieve, some strategies to put in place, that's a really tough thing to do. And you know, understandably, that's not an easy conversation to have. And depending on what your relationship is like at work, then that can be, you know, a terrifying prospect and just something that people aren't going to do. But if that conversation can be had, and I mean, you know, again, let's not assume that all workplaces are the same because we know that they're not. Mm. Like, you know, it's a conversation that I could very easily have with my boss, but that's the kind of workplace that I work in. Whereas I've got, you know, really close friends and family that have very different relationships at work, and there's no way they're going to walk in and have that conversation. So all of these symptoms, all of this stress and anxiety, there are ways to manage it. We know that. And there is, I know there's a big weight that's collecting and it's all over the place. And most people, are, you know, a lot of people you speak to will report to you that or just tell you their story of how anxious they've been, how overloaded they are. They're so busy. They don't feel like they have any time. They've got too much to do. But there are strategies out there and we know how to deal with this. That's the thing. There's so much collective knowledge about how to deal with these situations, how to have a healthy workplace and a healthy, you know, a healthy life outside of your work as well, and how to try and manage that balance. I feel like just after pandemic with that load to get out of lockdown, everyone sort of been rushing to get back in. I kind of feel like we've forgotten a bit about it, and that's a bit of a worry because if it is allowed to escalate and to grow and spread, the health impacts are really big and really real, and they will extend out into some pretty serious economic impacts as well, plus a huge amount of stress on an already, let's face it, overwhelmed mental health system and public health system in Victoria. Mm.
And returning to metropolitan Melbourne, which we were allowed to do on the weekend, I know a lot of people took advantage of that. I went to metropolitan Melbourne, but it was very safe and very socially distanced because I was walking on the cliff tops out the back of Sorrento. So plenty of fresh air and social distancing, but that is considered to be metropolitan Melbourne.
It is, Mitch, but, you know, I feel like, God, speaking of stress and anxiety, I grew up in Victoria, I grew up in Geelong, and my favourite thing to do when from about the age of 16 was to get on the train and go up to Melbourne and just wander around the city, spend time in the laneways, go walk in the parks, go shopping, go sit in a cafe, you know, just soak up that sense of Melbourne and the great city that it was. I went to uni in Melbourne and absolutely loved it. And it's got a really, you know, it's a much bigger city than it was back then for me. And it's a much busier city until now. And it just feels like, oh, God, I just, you know, just want to reach out and give them all a big COVID safe hug and say, look, we're coming back. We're going to come and sit in your cafes. We're going to come and sit in your restaurants. We're going to go shopping. We're going to stay overnight. We're going to see the shows. We're going to go and see a bit of footy in Melbourne and, you know, maybe stay and hang out around the city. It just feels like, you know, we've lost that wonderful vibrancy and that excitement of going to hang out in the city of Melbourne. So, you know, hopefully COVID numbers stay really low or are gone in Victoria, apart from those that are already in quarantine or coming in. But if we can control this spread of the virus, my God, don't, you know, there'll be businesses that don't come back. We know that it has had real damage to the city. We've been much, much more fortunate in the regions. So not that it's been easy compared to other places in Australia, compared to the rest of the world, it's been amazing. But people, you know, those businesses, those people working in Melbourne have really struggled. So I'm excited, Mitch, about the idea of being able to get up there again and hang out in the city and take the family up and stay overnight and just, you know, just soak it all up. And I kind of feel like it's that thing where the city's been so quiet because of the lockdown, and there's an opportunity for everyone now to go back and experience the city in a way that we won't have for a very long time. I mean, it's been an awful long time since you could walk freely around the footpaths of Melbourne and go and get a table at a restaurant pretty easily and sit down and go and get tickets for a show. But this little window that we've got right now is that window. So I hope that it's a short window, because I hope that everyone jumps on it and says, yeah, fantastic, coming back.
Yeah, I'm like you. I do love going up to Melbourne, and it's a great city and maybe one of the best cities in the world. It's just funny, though, when the restrictions ease, particularly in metropolitan Melbourne, you get all these people in Melbourne trying to rapidly leave that area and come out to regional Victoria. Yeah. And yet there's still a few regional Victorians like us that are desperate to get back into the city and enjoy that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's just been sad. It's been sad to see the impact on a place that we love. And we know that Melbourne's a place of micro communities. You know, streets have their own community, even sections of streets have their own community. So, I don't think we can underestimate the impact that the successive four lockdowns have had around central, the CBD area, and then extending out into Metro Melbourne as well. But particularly that CBD area, wow, it's just not the same place, Mitch. But, you know, it'll come back. And I remember, you know, I was a student in the 90s, so going in after the recession when lots of businesses disappeared, lots of people were doing it really tough, economic conditions were appalling. But that kind of was the springboard for the Melbourne that we love, the Melbourne that you would have grown up with, Mitch, me being just that little bit older than you. So the city changed. It became really vibrant and really creative and really classy. You know, the food was amazing. The coffee was world class. The street art sort of exploded, and the arts and cultural scene exploded, as did the sporting scene as well. All of that growth in Melbourne kind of came off the back of those really hard times in the late 80s, early 90s. So I'm pretty hopeful, actually, that the Melbourne that we want will be the Melbourne that comes back bigger and better than ever.
And just last of all, before we let you go, there's an emergency national cabinet on, and it's getting pretty testy between the state government and the federal government around the vaccines situation. And we were talking to John Aaron before 10, and he's very displeased with the federal government and the vaccine rollout.
Yeah, I didn't hear John. I've got to say, I'm not exactly very pleased with the pace and the organisation of the federal government's vaccine rollout either, Mitch, to be perfectly honest. If I was going to curse on radio, now might be that time. It's just so, so important. And look, honestly, I don't care who's got the credit or the blame or whatever. All I want to hear from all of our levels of government is gone, right, we have not done this as well as we could. How do we make it work as well as we can right now? Because think back, it wasn't that long ago that America's vaccination program was an absolute basket case. Post-election, it was a disaster. People were not getting vaccinated. People were not interested in getting vaccinated. And then a change in leadership, a change in approach, a really huge push on getting this out as quickly as possible made a really big difference. And the UK has flown ahead, the US has flown ahead, and the UK, of course, has flown ahead using the AstraZeneca vaccine that has now become a bit on the nose in Australia, which is a shame. And I mean, it's understandable, the hesitancy around that and that threat of the clot, but, you know, you're 100 times or 200 times more likely to get in a car accident and get hurt on your way to get the vaccine than you are to actually have a problem from the clotting. So we've had some issues with that messaging around the vaccine, and that was really, really bad. We've had some really big issues around the ordering and the making of those deals to get the vaccine. And then we're having issues with getting it out enough to get it into people's arms, because you and I both know, I went out, I've had my first dose. I'm excited to get my second dose, but there's so much more appetite to get vaccine than there is actually vaccine to be able to get into arms. So, yeah, I think big questions need to be asked, but again, if it descends into a, oh, well, the federal government should have done this, oh, but the states are doing this, then you're not serving any of us. Your job is to get out there and get this sorted. So quite frankly, if you're in any form of government right now, apart from local, I think, which have just been doing a really good job of trying to support their local communities, but if you're in federal or state government right now, no one cares about your issues with each other. I've got to tell you, there'll be political commentators that do. Other than that, no one cares. Put everything else down. Get this done.
Yep. Really good advice. Thanks for being on the program, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks' time.
Terrific. Great to speak to you, Mitch. Stay safe.
Thank you so much.
Get vaccinated.
If I could, I would. Thank you very much, Davina Montgomery, with us there.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.